Amen. Psalms 13 is where we're going to be. If you have your Bibles, and Psalms 13, and you know, we all know what's going on in the world now, what's going on in our country, and so I've been praying about what the message will be this morning when we come back, and so this, I feel like this is what the Lord put on my heart. So Psalms 13, as you find that, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you, Lord, to be able to come back into this church building and meet and lift up your name and pray and preach your word and teach your word and see each other and our friends and our family. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the, hopefully we will be able to always continue to meet together in the future. Lord, we pause for just a minute and we do recognize that it is this Sunday when we recognize all of our Christian brothers around the world are being persecuted in the churches and individually. So, Father, we just come together in Jesus' name. Lord, we plead the blood of Jesus over all of our brothers and sisters around the world that are being persecuted. Lord, in the Southern Baptist churches, Lord, we just lift those up right now all over the world and ask us your mercy and grace and wisdom, protection. Place your angels encamped about them and keep them safe. We do want to pause and recognize that. Father, in Jesus' name, help me this morning preach and teach this as you put it on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, let's look at how David handled a few challenges in his life. And maybe we can use this as an example in our own life. So, let's read Psalms 13. It says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Everybody said amen? Amen. Sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, what's going on right now, sometimes we feel we're going through difficulties. Sometimes we forget about God's promise, God's promises. It's easy sometimes when we're struggling and going through things in life to kind of forget about that. Sometimes we may wonder why the Lord doesn't work the way that we think he should work. Has anybody ever done that? Okay, we wonder why the Lord doesn't work the way that we think he should. Think about that. I've done that in my life. When he doesn't work within our time frame, we're often tempted to say, where's God when we need him? Where is he? Where are you, God, when we need you the most? Some of us are asking this now based on the craziness that we see on TV. I'd encourage you not to watch too much of that. Most even know what I mean. David had the same concern, even though it was an individual challenge and concern for him. And like many of David's psalms, Psalm 13 was probably written when David was fleeing from Saul. Y'all remember the story, right? King Saul kind of went, whoop, whoop, right? And started, what does that mean, Gary? Whoop, whoop. Y'all know what I mean, right? So, yeah, basically, King Saul was losing his mind, so he tried to hurt David, tried to hunt him down, and, you know. And David being a fugitive many, many times, you know, this got him uncomfortable. And so David in Psalms 13, he was feeling despair and depression and frustration and a little bit of rejection. And so out of his desperation, we see in this scripture where David began to say, God, where are you? Where are you when I need you? And that's a fair question. If you live long enough in life, you have a tendency to kind of ask those questions. Either personally or maybe you've seen some tragedy. There's three things, if you're taking notes this morning, there's three things that I want to bring out in chapter 13. And here's the three. The problem, the prayer, and the praise. So the problem, the prayer, and the praise. So let's look at the first one, the problem. And this will cover verses 1 and 2. In Psalms 13, David, if you'll notice, he begins to ask God four times. He asks him four times, how long? How long? And this was really speaking into his agony and his frustration. How long? Whatever David was going through at that time, he felt like God had forgotten him. By asking forever, is this going to be forever? He was saying that this problem had been going on for a while. Now, occasionally, sometimes things happen to us, and we may feel like God has forgotten us. Maybe God has forgotten our country. You start asking those kind of questions. Remember the woman in Matthew 9? Who was struggling, and she was healed when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She suffered for 18 years. For 18 years she suffered. If you have an illness, if you have pain issues, if you have troubles and woes like that, sometimes it's easy to start asking God, how long? How long am I going to have to suffer like this? How long am I going to have to put up with this or deal with this? I've done that. I have, even recently with the autoimmune disease thing. I've asked the Lord, am I going to have to suffer the rest of my life? I don't know. I've learned to just accept it and take my medicine and move on and leave that up to God, right? He's in charge of all that, and I completely, totally, how long? Isaiah tells us, right, that God is not going to forget us. He does not forget us. We've all heard the scripture of, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. But what about this scripture? Isaiah 49:16. Listen to this scripture. I'm sure most of you have read it before, but it really stood out to me this week as I was studying. Isaiah 49:16, here it goes. It says God saying, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. I'm going to read that again. Listen to that. That's God saying to us. He's saying it to Israel, but now he's saying that to us as children of God. We've been adopted into the family of God. We're children of God now, and he is saying that I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. And the way I interpret that is that God has written my name in his hand. It says that we're in the palm of his hand, right? Nothing can separate us from God. Y'all know the scriptures, most of you, right? Think about how precious that is. He has this in the palm of his hand, in his hand. This really gets me fired up. Inscribed. This promise is very special. Along with the nail scars that are inscribed in Jesus' hands, assures us that he will never forget us. He will never forget us. Now, let's get back to David. David also felt forsaken. David, hey, but David also felt forsaken. So this is his second time he said, how long? It refers to the idea that the face of God indicates his pleasure and his presence. So see, David had a long history of God's favor. Man, David was used to God coming in and showing out and helping him and rescuing him and giving him strength and wisdom. David was used to this. So to see the Lord's not really delivering him right there, David started feeling abandoned. Where's God in all this? What's going on? Again, some of us may have those feelings. Some of us may have been there. You know, one moment it seems like God is just smiling on every area of your life and things are going really good. And then all of a sudden the next minute, it's not. Things are just not going your way. Things seems like they're coming against you. Sometimes it's so tough that we may feel like that God has turned his face on us. Like David was talking about. What should we do there in those times? During those times, it's when we need to focus on Christ. We need to focus on the Word of God. Focus on God's truths. Those promises that we've talked about many times. God is never at a distance. He is. If you're a born-again child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in you, the Holy Spirit, you are never at a distance with God. He is there with us, whether we feel it or not. Did y'all hear that? He's there with us, whether we feel it or not. Now, y'all know we're not saved based on feelings, right? We're saved based on faith, God's grace and mercy, and believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Notice here also that David felt frustrated, and this takes us to the third, how long? How long? David said, how long? He wonders how long he shall, get it here, take counsel in his own soul. Now, you'll remember, if you hang around here long enough, you'll know I'm, the soul means the mind, will, and emotions. That's biblical. Our souls, our mind, how we think. Our will is what we do or don't do. And our emotions, our feelings. So David here was saying, how long am I going to have to stay in my own mind and try to figure this out? I'm here, I'm trying to encourage myself and thinking and my own thinking and my own feelings. And you know, David was getting frustrated because he really wasn't hearing from the Lord or hearing from God. And so he was thinking, how long am I going to be able to sit here and try to figure this thing out? This was signifying that his thoughts were filled with confusion. Really, David let God know that he was totally consumed with the problem. Has anyone ever been consumed with the problem you're going through? And your mind starts racing and you're just going over and over and over and you can't get it out. And it's like, and you say to yourself, what should I do? What should I do? I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. What should I do? I don't know how to, I don't know what to do. That creates anxiety and worry and fear, and right? Again, even teenagers, you know, sometimes, you know, have to struggle with that, you know. David felt like there was no escape from it. His final how long expressed, if you look at the scripture, it expressed his defeat. He was like, say, I'm done. See, his enemy had the upper hand with no relief in sight. This is how David felt. When we encounter problems that seem endless and they keep going on, and we need to realize sometimes, listen closely, sometimes, not always, but sometimes the problems are God's way of allowing us to grow in our faith. Just like he did with Job. Sometimes, and I always qualify it with not always, but sometimes the problems that are coming up in our life, our country, or, you know, you see where I'm going with that, you know? It's to prepare us for future service, just like it did in Joseph's life. And we all know, if you read the Bible, that God's ways are not our ways, and we can't understand what he's doing at times. But he is sovereign, and he does have a plan, and he has all this figured out. We have to trust him. I have a goofy example or metaphor for you. It's in an assembly line, a car, automobile assembly line. Every car moves slowly down the line. Well, all along the way, people are gradually completing the car until the very end. That's how God works in our life most of the time. He's continually molding our character. He's continually building our integrity. He's continually building us to be the men and the women that God has called us to be. And this is a process. And I think it's a lifelong process. I do. Whenever we go through an extended trial or an extended problem, we can be sure. Everybody say sure.
Sure.
We can be sure that God is at work. Here's why. Because Philippians 1:6 says so. Not because I did. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this. I mean, listen to that. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Everybody say amen. Point two. We're getting there. I forgot my watch this morning, y'all. Sorry. Point two is the prayer. This is the other point. So we had the problem. Now we're looking at the prayer. And this is back to chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. This is going to cover 3 and 4. So David prayed a very short, urgent prayer. If you'll notice, he prayed a very short, urgent prayer. And prayers don't have to be long to be effective. You don't have to pray like Deacon Jones. You don't have to pray, hallelujah. And I'm not being, you know. You don't have to pray a big old powerful giant prayer. Short, urgent prayers, what David said. I tell you, some of those precious prayers I heard from my own mother. And sometimes it would just be this: Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's it. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help them. It's okay to intercede and pray for a long time for someone or something. That's perfectly great. But sometimes just a simple, heartfelt, urgent cry of a short prayer is very meaningful. It's okay. Just say, Jesus, help that doctor. You know? Jesus, help them in that job interview. Just real simple, urgent prayer. I'll tell you a funny story about my mom real quick. She brought over, yesterday at the house, she brought us 7 bags of White Acre peas. Some of you know about that, right? 7 bags, already blanched, put in the little quart bag. Whew. It was heaven. And I know there'll be a day when she won't be here and won't be able to do that. I stuck them babies in the freezer. It's kind of funny because she said, my cortisone shot's kicking in. So she was down at Farmer Brown's getting some peas. You know what I mean? Some of you know me. You know, and she, anyway, bless her heart. She's so sweet. You're going to eat good. In this scripture, it says David first asked the Lord to consider him, to consider and hear him, to look intently on his situation. This is David asking the Lord. It says, said to enlighten his eyes. In other words, David was saying, Lord, you got to open my eyes on this. You got to help me. Well, I'm just going to die. I'm just going to end up dying from all this. See, David, what he's doing is asking God to refresh his perspective. Don't let catch that one now, okay? Catch that one. I believe this is what God is doing for the church, especially in America. God's asking us to reprioritize. He's asking us to get a fresh perspective. He's allowed us to kind of sit out. I hope you've been observing and watching and praying and doing whatever you need to do to seek the Lord. And hopefully you have a fresh perspective now coming back. Amen? And y'all know what I mean without going into details. We've got kids in here and all that, right? So whatever that means to you, whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking in your heart about this fresh perspective. You know, maybe we can all talk about it in Sunday school whenever that gets back going or some meetings. If you'll notice in the scripture too, David used two different names for God. He used Lord, which is all capitalized, which really is about his covenant promise with his people. And then he used God, capital G-O-D, which is really about God's power and what he's able to do. You know, so David knew both those things were going on. Okay, we, as followers of Christ, we can hold on to every promise he has given us, knowing that God is going to answer our prayers sooner or later. It may not even be what we want, but he's going to answer. He loves us and loves us with an everlasting love. Third point. I'll move on. This is it. Third point. The praise. So we had the problem, the prayer, and the praise. And this one gets me a little fired up here when David starts shaking his head and go, oh, wait a minute, you know. Because this covers verses 5 and 6. It says, the last part of David's psalm begins with the word but. Yeah, all this may be going on, but. He's like, but. With that little word, David went from despair to victory. And I believe because he reminded himself of God's promises and God's word and how God has worked with him in the past and he's worked things out. But here's the two things. He was trusting in God's unfailing love. Just all of a sudden, he remembered, man, this God loves me. He loves me. He loves this country. I believe he still does. It's full of Christian believers. You know, we can go in another direction if we want to. But David was trusting in God's unfailing love. I know God loves me. Things may look a little struggling right now, bad, or whatever you want to call it. But God loves us. And he loves you. David decided also at that time that he would sing a song of praise to the Lord while he waited. While he waited, he began to sing a song. How could he sing at that time? How could he sing during that time? How can we sing at this time when all this is going on? Just like we did this morning. How many felt that was a beautiful song? It was very fitting and it just fired me up and it was great. David was rejoicing in God's salvation. He was rejoicing in his salvation. Yeah, some of us may be feeling a little low right now, or a little scared, or a little worried, or whatever, but, everybody say but. But I know I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm adopted into family. I'm going to heaven. God loves me. I'm just going to rest in that. What about this? What about that? What about them? What about those? You know, brother, I'm a born-again child of God. There's royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm saved and going to heaven. They can have all this. When it's all said and done, amen. I mean, the children of darkness are scurrying around. But the children of light, We're right here. We're right here, but I feel like we're not going to be here very long. Salvation. The Hebrew word in that salvation means ultimate deliverance. In the Hebrew, that means ultimate deliverance. I believe with all my heart that every child of God has a deep, deep understanding that one of these days, total deliverance will come. Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 1:10 that God has delivered us in the past. He is delivering us in the present, and He will deliver us in the future. God doesn't just give life, my friends. He gives everlasting life. God doesn't just give peace. He gives perfect peace. God just doesn't give grace. He gives grace abounding. David said, he did not say that God had dealt with him. No, you read it. God said He had dealt with him bountifully. Now, okay, did God just jump right in and answer David's prayers and change the situation? No. But if you read and read and study, you'll find out that God changed David. He changed David's heart. And He will change us too. If we'll let Him, if we'll stay focused on Him, He'll change us so that we will become the men and women that He's called us to be for this end times. We are a chosen generation. I think we need to prepare ourselves. Like David, instead of focusing on our problems, we can trust in God's mercy. We can trust in His love. We can trust in His salvation. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word. Lord, You said You will go forth and will not return void. So, Father, I just pray if there's anyone listening, whether in this church building or through social media, if they've never accepted Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, I just pray that they'll do that now. Father, all they have to do is just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want You to be my Savior. Please forgive me my sins. I trust today in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Or for someone here this morning as we sing the song of invitation, if they want to come down and walk down and give their life to Christ, I'd love to pray with them. We give this all over to You in Jesus' name. Amen.